This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And joining me on the line now is Dr. Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne. Doctor, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And you're a senior lecturer in the School of Social and Political Sciences. And we find you over in the United States at the moment, where there's a lot of talk about the Republican debate and what went down there.
Yes, I'm a visiting professor at the University of Connecticut this semester. So, yes, my eyes are glued to the American political landscape.
And can you tell us about particularly Donald Trump and what's been happening there? Because at the moment he seems to be ahead of the pack when it comes to the polls as to the preferred Republican candidate for president. But he's made some remarks of late directed towards one particular Fox News reporter, I believe her name is Megyn Kelly, that were seen to be quite offensive.
Yeah, so at the moment Donald Trump is holding about 23% of the Republican vote, which is great for him and incredibly alarming for anybody who is interested in the democratic process. He's been making a lot of different controversial remarks. Probably most of them are deliberate to solidify his base. About a week ago, he was referring to Mexicans as criminals and rapists. And over the weekend, he got asked some tough questions from a female Fox journalist. You mentioned her name before, Megyn Kelly. In response, Donald Trump said that he suspected that she had blood coming out of her whatever, and that was the quote. And a lot of people, myself included, have construed that as to be a reference to menstruation in the same way that you might say, well, she's on the rag, because the other connotations, I mean, where else would blood be coming out of for a woman who has displeased a man?
And he says that that was completely false and that's not what he meant at all. So is there some merit in what he's saying?
Not only is it false, according to Donald Trump, but in fact we're all deviants for even suspecting that he meant menstruation.
Yes, well, he said we've been going overboard with political correctness, I think was the gist of what he was getting at. So is there some merit that it was all just a big misunderstanding, or do you think that this is something we have to be really wary of before we make this guy potentially a front runner to be president of the United States?
Look, I think the people who are looking for reasons to excuse Donald Trump's behaviour are Donald Trump supporters, who will always be looking for a way to say, well, he didn't really mean that all Mexicans were rapists, just most of them. So I think we need to be really careful of looking at, A, who's defending him, but also what else could he have meant? And I think that's an even more interesting question, because we don't have a slur in the English vernacular about blood coming out of any other orifice. It's just not a common expression. But yet the accusation of a woman having her period, that is actually really well entrenched in English language. I've written a book on this very topic. This is common. Blood coming out of her nose, that's not common. In fact, that's scary.
What concerns me, and I think people have drawn links to Clive Palmer and perhaps some of how he conducts business by making controversial statements, maybe not quite to that extent, but what concerns me is the approach of, if you get a bad question, you attack the reporter or the person asking it rather than providing an answer. I think at the end of the day, it's about the answer you give rather than the question that's asked. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, but this is also a very good example about what happens when you have people who are not politically savvy running for office, which is very much like Clive Palmer. And the problem, I guess the problem benefit here, and it's a sort of two sides of the coin, is that there is an audience who loves characters like Donald Trump and Clive Palmer because they seem so different to the polished politicians that we're so used to seeing. And unfortunately, that sort of every Jonas that these characters come across as seems appealing in a sea of cookie-cutter politicians. But this is a really dangerous game because you get extremes. They're not just more accessible, they're more completely the opposite in terms of not only just are they not politically correct, but they're actually buffoons.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Feeding on that. And that's a really, really damning indictment of the political process, where we've got so far distance from our politicians in terms of finding them appealing that suddenly characters like Donald Trump and Clive Palmer look appealing in comparison. That's really, really sad.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, and it is concerning when people gravitate towards those sorts of characters. At the moment, on the numbers that I'm seeing, Donald Trump is about 15 to 18%, I think, as the preferred candidate, and the next one's quite a few points behind him. But I saw one person who I think was connected to the Republicans say that what Donald Trump has done is alienated our voters, because, of course, they said that he's offended 53% of our voters. In other words, all women are not going to vote for Donald Trump as a result. So do you think that when he made this comment that maybe that was a nail in the coffin for him?
Look, I think this is a really tricky game, and if he doesn't get the Republican endorsement, he's threatening to run as an independent or what's called a third-party candidate. Fantastic. I would love that, because if you don't want Republicans in office, the best way to get a Democrat back in is by having him carve up the vote, because there'll still be no one who's a traditional Democrat supporter will ever vote for Trump. He's only going to steal votes from the Republican base. So it's actually best-case scenario for the Democrats if he does run as a third-party candidate, because you'll have your traditional, more conservative Republican base vote Republican. Then you'll get the sort of outlier, less conservative but more fiscally strident Republican vote for Trump. Great. That's a really good way to split that vote.
So in America, it's a first-past-the-post system rather than a preferential system as we see in Australia. Is that right?
Well, it's actually even more complicated than that, but that's the short version. Unfortunately, they have, or some of them actually might think it is fortunate, they have a process that's called the Electoral College in the United States. So it's a little layer of added complexity. So firstly, there's the primary process, which is why we kind of see Republicans versus Republicans and Democrats versus Democrats. That's the kind of fight that transpires within each party. Then when you get to the stage where we've whittled down to two candidates, then there's an electoral college process, and that's a sort of added layer of complexity, and that's the reason why you saw George Bush win all those years ago, is because of the electoral college votes as opposed to the popular vote.
Do you have a tip as to who the Republican candidate is likely to be? Will it be Donald Trump? Will it be someone else, or are you just not going to speculate?
Oh, look, I would, truth be told, I would be surprised if it's Trump, because I just don't think he represents what the Republican Party is trying to prove themselves to be. I think he seems like too much like a loose cannon. And I think this is a lesson that they learnt from Mitt Romney a couple of years back, is going too far to the right is a dangerous game. Very much the same as why you won't have a Democrat candidate going too far to the left. We've seen it in Australia as well.
Yeah.
We've got this endless fight for the middle ground now, because extremist candidates get cut out really, really quickly.
What is interesting is when you look at the political spectrum in America, it's very different to Australia. So the right side of politics in America, particularly if you look at things like gun control, for example, that in Australia is just seen to be like way over to the right side of the politics, whereas maybe in America that would be more centrist, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and there's also, and it's probably better to think instead less of that, the political spectrum in the United States, and more like the political compass, because you've got sort of extreme, if you like, libertarians who are the, you know, freedom of the press, which we often associate with a more lefty side of politics, but also freedom to have a gun. So you get sort of unique combinations of values in the United States, which we don't see in Australia. Also, the power of the Christian right in the US is much stronger. There is a much stronger Bible Belt in the US than you see in Australia. Sure, we've got Family First in Australia. There is some elements of religion sturdying, but nowhere near the clout as in the United States, where you've got whole states in the US where you actually have to court a religious, you know, really strongly religious people, who things like freedom of choice in terms of abortion is actually a vote decider still in 2015.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us this morning, all the way over from the United States. I really appreciate it, and it's been a fascinating insight. Good on you. Thank you so much. Lauren Rosewarne there, or Dr. Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne. She is a writer, researcher and commentator because she pops up quite a fair bit on the media, but also a senior lecturer in the School of Social and Political Sciences and currently over in Connecticut in the United States.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.